Welcome everyone to episode 51 of the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. This is going to be a very special episode focused on the IPL. This week, you've got your host DJ here in London, and I'm joined by Ashwin, as always, from Cincinnati. Unfortunately, Varun's very busy today, so he's not been able to join us for this show. He'll be back next week. But we've been pretty busy this week as well. We've recorded a number of shows with other podcasts. We've spoken to It's Cricket Show, we've spoken to the Cricket Badger Show, and we've spoken to ESPN's Head in the Game. So it's been a great week for the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. We recently went past 50 episodes, so thank you all for supporting us through all of that. And I just wanted to have a big shout out to all our listeners. Guys, thank you so much for writing into us. We've really appreciated that. Keep writing in, keep sending us your tweets, your emails. It makes us put the show out every week, and we really enjoy doing it. So please, 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 please tell your friends about us. Please keep writing in and do keep in touch. Ashwin, how are you doing?
I am well. I have a severe case of IPL fever. We're recording this just about 72 hours, or less than 72, I think about 60 hours before the first ball is bowled. So I am all hyped up, ready to go. I've been struggling to find a way to make sure this week passes quickly, but hopefully Saturday morning my time will be here soon.
Can you believe your brother is missing this podcast? It's the IPL preview podcast and he isn't here. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that a little, but I also know he's a planner. He's mapped out the next few weeks. So much so that, you know, despite the fact that he lives in Singapore and I'm in the US, we have it set up that he will be with me in my home watching the first four IPL games together. So I know he's sacrificing a little by missing the preview show, but that's so that during the 6 weeks of the IPL, he's 100% all in.
Yeah, and that's absolutely incredible that you guys are going to watch the first game of the IPL together despite living on two different continents. So well done on that organization. But Ashwin, let's talk about the IPL a little bit. I don't know what happens to us every March, April, but why do we get so excited about the IPL? What is it that brings out the beast in us when the IPL starts up?
I mean, that's just the beauty of the IPL, right? It's an incredible sporting phenomenon, but it's also just an amazing business model and a really, really good marketing model they've built, right? They get us excited. They do lots of pre-launch activities. I mean, honestly, even the auction, the fact that the auction happens, 4 months before, I've been excited since the auction because you spend a day watching people trying to decide which players to buy. Then at that point, you get hyped up for your team. Then the interest dies a little. You go back to international. Then you come back to the IPL. So whatever it is, they do an incredible job of driving the hype. We have been watching it also for 12 years. I mean, the truth is, a lot of people I know, my friends, et cetera, watch the English Premier League, or in this part of the world, watch the NBA, Major League Baseball, et cetera. All of those leagues have been around for a lot longer than we have. And that's great. That brings with it a lot of tradition and history. And, you know, you can compare teams not just for the last 1, 2, 5 years, but for the last 50 years of their head-to-head. There's another kind of charm, though, to the fact that all of us watched the first ever edition of the IPL 12 years ago. I remember where I was. We were in the basement of the engineering building at McGill. About 10 of us got together. Match was at 6:30 a.m. Eastern time. So, you know, we had to get special permission to open the building early, get there, watch our city teams, not knowing what to expect. Why is Brendan McCullum batting for an Indian team? Why are Indian players batting with overseas players? So we've come a long way since then, but there's so many reasons we are excited. And for me personally, having watched every edition, each one of the first 11 editions, I'm just as pumped for the 12th one.
Absolutely. And I'm sure we're going to come later in the show to why we're more and more excited as we see all these great players come in. And also, our listeners have written into us about their first memories of the IPL. So we'll come to that later. The auction, right? I mean, it happens in January, and we talk about this in the podcast that we did with the Cricket Badger radio show podcast, which we'll put into the back end of this show. So if you guys have missed that, please go and have a listen to it. But the auction itself starts off this kind of weird vibe that it's in January, it's cold in London here, and it's kind of the ray of light which tells you that the IPL is not far away and it's around the corner. And I mean, we start following the IPL from then. And I mean, by the time it comes to March, I mean, we are way too excited. And obviously, for me, actually, and for you as well, in some ways, this podcast is a product of the IPL because we all played fantasy cricket, right, for so many years. And one of the reasons I was able to keep in touch with Varun and you is because we played fantasy cricket on the same platform for so many years. And I think that is actually how this podcast has made its way to 50 episodes and above.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. If you remember, before we had the podcast, we had our website, onetiponehand.com, and we were writing daily fantasy cricket tips for people. And it's great to be able to write tips, especially when there's not as much pressure of having to win. But I mean, yeah, having watched all the matches, having played fantasy cricket for every year, for many years, we used to write fantasy cricket tips, and that's actually how the website grew to what it became. So you're absolutely right.
So let's get straight into the first few of your fantasy cricket tips for this edition. What players are you most excited for in this edition, Ashwin? Tell us your fantasy secrets, because you're actually the best fantasy player amongst us. If your world ranking of number 6 in, what was it, 2013 is to be believed.
Yeah, absolutely. Very exciting. I will never forget that one because I don't think I'll ever come close to that one again. But exciting to have been.
Have you got a screenshot of it?
I've got a screenshot that I've been moving from laptop to laptop. So it stays on my desktop. And I'm happy to send it to anybody anytime. But number 6 in the world was the highest I've accomplished. Look, my IPL or my fantasy cricket strategy has always been go big or go home. So I'm never in the middle, in our 20-person league, I'm never in the middle 50%. I'm either right near the top, which happens, unfortunately, pretty rarely, or I'm way at the bottom because I took some risky picks and, you know, it didn't quite pan out for me. One example of which was Joss Butler after he scored 350s in a row for Rajasthan. I said, okay, now he's going to fail, right? Who scores 450s in a row? Everybody else picked him. I didn't. He scored a fourth 50. Then I said, all right, four in a row. He's not going to make a fifth. And of course, I didn't pick him. And we know that he went on to make 7 half centuries in a row. So I've lived to regret some of my fantasy league picks. But just onto your question, I mean, it's a big question to say what players are we most excited for. I think for me, the beauty of the IPL is always the balance of the really big name, the established, I'm talking the Dhonis, the Rainas, the Chris Gales, those really iconic players. And then, of course, the young new talent that we're excited to see. And I mean, from a Delhi standpoint, you're thinking about the Rishabh Pants of the world, the Prithvi Shaws, who are still very young. You have Shivam Dubé, who's playing for RCB. So from an Indian standpoint, those are some of the names I'll be watching out for. And then there are a couple interesting overseas additions as well. That have come in. You know, there's some West Indies players like O'Shane Thomas, Shurfane Rutherford, Shimron Hetmyer, Kimo Paul. They've all been brought in this year. So I think it's going to be really exciting all around. There are lots of great names to watch out for. The challenge, as always, is trying to figure out who's going to make the playing 11 on any given day.
And consistency, as we've always found out, right? So consistency is key. And we've got lots of our friends who play a couple of games and then just drop out and they just languish at the end of the season with 90 substitutions left. But anyway, I think my worst experience on fantasy has actually been, do you remember when Chris Gayle scored 175?
I remember it well because even I didn't have him in my side. I think you and I were the two players who didn't have him.
No. I had him in my side and I think I was second then, and everyone else had captained him and trumped him, so they get double points, right? And I was just like, he cannot score another big 50 or another big 100, because I think he'd scored one in the last 3 games. I was like, it can't happen again. So I'd left him out of the previous game, and I was just like, okay, now the law of averages is in my favor. It didn't quite work. So he played out. I remember Bhuvi bowled the first over of that match in Pune team called, the not the Rising Super Giants, the
Pune
one
Warriors with Dada, yeah.
Yeah, the one. I can't believe Dada is also associated with Pune Warriors.
He captained them, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And he ran with his hair sticking up, remember, after he got Kevin Peterson out against Delhi.
And now Dada is associated with Delhi. He's in an
full
advisory
circle,
capacity. Man. Dada and Ponting arm in arm posing for Delhi Capitals pictures. It's quite a sight.
Ridiculous. I mean, that's one of the beauty of the IPL. It's like Bhaji and Simons playing for the same team. I mean, where are you ever going to see that?
Exactly.
It's just fantastic stuff. Anyway, what I was saying was, what was I saying? I've literally just lost my entire...
You were talking about Chris Gayle and the Gayle 175, etc.
Yeah, so he scored the 175 and everybody else just zoomed past me, and I spent the rest of the season just feeling sad for myself because of that one innings. Because if you'd captained him, I think he got like 500 points or something. And it was just absolutely insane. Josh Butler is another good example, as you given last season. One of our friends, Akshay, just had a crazy fantasy season, just captaining Josh Butler all throughout. But anyway, apart from that, are you excited about any young players coming through? Varun Chakravarti, an unknown player from Tamil Nadu. Thoughts on him?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I don't know too much about him other than what the hype has said. So I think it'll be interesting to watch Punjab. I think Varun Chakravarti got lapped up by Punjab. You know, as an all-rounder, he brings that balance into the side where if you can even get one or two overs out of him and he can bat, that's where you get a little bit of, you get a little bit of extra likelihood to make the final 11. So I think I mentioned him before. So Varun Chakravarti is one. I mentioned Shivam Dubey. He seems to be the reason for all the hype. He cost 9.2 crores, I want to say. And again, an all-rounder, big hitter. So a lot of people are saying if he can have a good IPL and a good next 1 to 2 years domestically, then he really has a real shot to make it into the Indian side as that number 7-8 slot we talk so much about in our show. You know, there's a dire need for an Indian all-rounder who can bat as well as bowl a few overs for you. I think beyond that, I was really disappointed to see for KKR both the young fast bowlers Shivam Mavi and Kamlesh Nagarkoti are missing out. I think KKR is going to have a serious issue with their pace bowling because they also lost, I'm going to get his name wrong, but the South African fast bowler Henrik Noortje, I think his name is. And, you know, he was a cheap pick, so not going to be easy to replace, but he was also their fast bowler. So if I look at it correctly, KKR is basically left with Prasidh Krishna, who had a decent season last year, Lockie Ferguson, who was going to occupy one of their overseas spots, and then Andre Russell, who, you know, is tough to say is a full-time pacer, but they really don't have the bench strength right now. So I expect KKR to be bringing in some new young Indian players to replace them.
Yeah, thanks, Ashwin. It's a point that one of our listeners, actually, Mitran Mithu, has actually raised. He says that Kamlesh Nagarkoti and Shivam Mavi are both injured, and Nagarkoti was actually injured during the last IPL too. Both were in the under-19 team that won the World Cup. Young pacers are getting injured very often. Varun Aaron had the same issue. We've just heard today, actually, that Lungi Ngidi is going to be missing out on the IPL, which is a shame for him. And we've already had the jokes about there was one young guy in the CSK team, and even he's out. So, yeah, I mean, I think CSK will struggle. There's been chat about Dale Steyn coming in for Lungi, and we already made a joke about that being a dream for detergent sponsors. So we'll just have to wait and watch on that front.
You know, I think it's interesting. That's the other example of who, outside of your joke that I'd be happy to take to my detergent friends. You know, it's interesting that pace bowlers are the gap for Chennai now as well, right? If you really look at it, they have Mohit Sharma, Deepak Chahar, Shardul Thakur, who I don't really consider a pace bowler of any quality.
And he's super fast. That's why.
Absolutely. And then they have Dwayne Bravo and Shane Watson as their all-rounder pair. So no real strength in pace bowling. Now, CSK and KKR are both outstanding sides. They both have quality spin bowlers, quality all-rounders, and of course, quality batters. But I think it's just very interesting to see two of the bigger sides struggling a little bit with pace bowling. While on the flip side, you have, you know, a Delhi team with Rabada and Bolt together, along with Avesh Khan and Ishant. You have a Kings 11 Punjab team who has Andrew Tai and then Sam Curran. So it's going to be really interesting to see how fast bowling slots in, because some teams have made big choices there.
And one of the other reasons we really enjoy the IPL is, I think, because we get to see some of the stars that are fading a little bit. I think there was a little bit of disappointment that no one had picked Yuvraj up until the last round. He was picked up by the Mumbai Indians, and they're really doing a good PR job out of putting him on their Instagram and stuff. So I think that is one of the things that I quite personally enjoy. We used to see Adam Gilchrist turn out, Viru as well turned out for a little while. So that is one of the interesting things about the IPL. But can I just move on to who you think is actually going to do well and make the playoffs this season? Because is it fair to say that this is the most open IPL we've had for quite a while?
It feels like it, but then I also do recall, especially being a Delhi supporter, I do recall it feeling like it, not necessarily last year, but in the past few years a few times over. I mean, for Delhi, for example, I remember how excited we were that Gambhir was coming back. And obviously, we know how that ended last year for them. I remember last year for Punjab, Gail and Rahul being together at the top of the order was a hugely exciting thing. And again, that didn't quite turn out so well. So, I mean, IPL is all about momentum. It's about starting strong. And it's about having that savvy to navigate a long, difficult league. It's not just about the players. There's been many teams, and RCB is the prime example of that, where they have incredible individual performers but aren't able to find a team dynamic that works well. So I feel on paper, the difference and the reason why this year feels a little bit more evenly matched is because we've seen the emergence of lots of really strong younger players who have done well across the board. So, for example, if I look at Punjab, Mayank Agarwal, we probably didn't think too much of him a year ago. I mean, he was a decent player. We know he was doing well. We were talking about getting him in the test side. But once you've got your test cap and you've performed at that test level, it brings you into a different profile, right? It allows you, yeah, it just elevates you a little bit. I think if you look at a Delhi side, same thing. Rishabh Pant had a good IPL last year. But since then, Prithvi Shaw has made his test debut and done well and has, you know, almost become sort of a short shot in the Indian test side at the top of the order now. So as you look through some of the younger players who've in the last year grown internationally, in the international game. I mean, even if you look at an Ashton Turner, who in the auction, we said, okay, he's decent, but even just that one innings against India in India will elevate his level. So that's what I think makes this a little bit more balanced. I think it's going to be interesting to see which four make the finals.
So tell us which four will make the finals, Ashwin.
Ooh, that's a tough question.
We're putting you on the spot again.
I know, and it's going on record this time.
Those predictions in so we can be wrong. I've already put mine on record. It's in the Badger podcast. So you guys can listen to me make my probably inevitably wrong prediction, but I wanted to get Ashwin's in as well.
Yeah, it's a tough question. I mean, I think the beauty of this is it's a 50-50 shot. So I think really skillful would be find a way to predict four and none of them make it, right? But okay, here are my four. My surprising pick, I think, is the Chennai Super Kings. I think despite the fact that...
Sorry, how is that surprising?
Because
they've made the playoffs every time they've played the IPL.
It's not surprising on paper for anybody. It's surprising for me to have said that because if you look at my track record, I wrote them off last year. I said, you've got a team with an average age of 34 plus. I wrote them off and obviously they came back to win. So not surprising.
Do you remember who called them as eventual winners?
Did you really?
In the preview podcast. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
And the reason I gave for it was literally Dhoni. I just said, well, Dhoni, right? And I just moved on.
Yeah. I mean, he knows how to win. He knows how to win an IPL.
And what an unbelievable season he had. Anyway, I digress. Go on. So Chennai Super Kings.
I think Chennai Super Kings is the one. I think Sunrisers Hyderabad is probably number two. And the reason for that is just similar to what you said about Dhoni. I'm going to say Kane Williamson, right? I think David Warner coming back, Kane Williamson. Vijay Shankar, for example, is one of those players we talked about who wasn't super impactful last year. Delhi even let him go and has found a niche for himself. And then the bowling, I mean, goes without saying, Rashid Khan, Bhuvi Kumar bowling together. So for me, Sunrises is my second team that'll make it.
So I got asked a question on the Badger podcast about Sunrisers and whether they'd go with Kane as captain or Warner as captain. And I found that quite a difficult question to answer, actually.
For me, it's not as that tough. I think undoubtedly they're going to go with Kane Williamson, given the year he had last year, given the record he has, and given the fact that Warner is still working his way back, right? So he hasn't been playing internationally for a year, but also he's not ever going to be allowed to captain or vice-captain Australia again. So I think from a leadership and a PR standpoint, Warner will play but not lead.
Yeah, doesn't that kind of throw their balance off a little bit? Because when Warner was skipper, Kane used to sit out, and Warner didn't play last year, and Kane was skipper and did really well. So I don't know, because you've only got that limit of four overseas players, right? So
yeah, so what I think they've done well in terms of beefing up their squad, I think they've done a good job adding the Indian all-rounders and they're beefing up their pace bowling. So if you not to spend too much time on it, but if you go through their overseas players last year, it was very difficult for them to pick, or yeah, 2 years ago, very difficult for them to pick Williamson and Warner because you didn't have the depth of all-rounders and you didn't have the depth of bowlers. So you needed to have Shakib Al-Hassan basically play. Now we know Rashid Khan is almost a guarantee, is basically a guarantee. Now, in theory, you could play Warner and Williamson both as batsmen. You could play Rashid Khan as a spinner, and then you have an option to either play somebody like a Billy Stanlake as if you need a pace bowling backup, or you can play a Martin Guptill or Johnny Bairstow if you need the batting backup. So you don't have to slot in Shakib Al Hasan, and that's where I think there can be a world where Warner and Williamson play. And the reason for that is, from an all-rounder standpoint, last year all they had was Yusuf. This year they've added in Abhishek Sharma and Vijay Shankar. Both young, both Indian, but I mean, if both of them do half decently, you don't need an overseas all-rounder to play in the Sunrisers.
Awesome. So you've got the CSK, you've got the SRH. So you've obviously been reading a lot of articles on the internet who've put them to put down as favorites. Number three?
My number three and four, I think, for the rest of the world are the more non-traditional picks. I have a feeling, and I think a lot of us have said this for many years, I have a feeling this year is going to be RCB's year.
Yeah. Oh, what RCB? I thought you were going with Delhi Capitals.
That's number four. Don't ruin that yet. That's number
okay.
four.
Okay.
That's why three and four are probably going to end up at number seven and eight in reality. But I have a feeling, I just have a feeling about RCB this year. Look, AB de Villiers.
Why this year?
So Kohli and AB de Villiers have always been kind of the mainstays, right? If you look at...
Like Jay and Viru.
Pretty much. That's pretty much who they are. If you look at the rest of their lineup, I think Chahal has had generally a pretty good year. His momentum's not on his side after that Australia series, but generally Chahal as a spinner is a great option. I think from a pace bowling standpoint, they have Nathan Coulter-Nile and Tim Southee as their overseas options, both really strong players. I think maybe their pace bowling is a little bit weak as you think about Siraj and Umesh as the Indian options. And then they've beefed up their all-rounders by adding Marcus Stoinis, who, you know, honestly on paper shouldn't be that great or as good as he is, but somehow manages to have this ability to win games. And to me, that's what they've been missing. So, net of it, I think they have a lot of selection. They'll have a lot of selection dilemmas. I think they have too many good overseas players as they've had in years past. It's not without issues. I just have a feeling this year with the World Cup coming up and Kohli needing to prove a point, I have a feeling they'll make it to the Final Four. I don't think they'll win, but I have a feeling they'll make it to the Final Four.
Interesting left field pick there. Nice. I like it. RCB, number three.
And of course, I gave it away a little bit, but this is me speaking with the heart, not with the mind, like you did on the Cricket Badger show. But number four, of course, is going to be the Delhi Daredevils. I'm still saying that. The Delhi Capitals,
yeah.
The new team. Look.
The DCs.
The DC. And our friend Yogi, who's a Hyderabad fan, gets very upset at the fact that it's DC, because DC in his mind will always be Deccan Chargers.
And Danny Morrison must be so upset as well. He can't use double Ds anymore.
I think he's
really. And double G is gone as well.
Double G from the double Ds. That's true.
It's all happening. It's all happening. Poor Danny.
Anyway, just to wrap up my train of thought on Delhi, obviously there's an emotional bias. I know I want them to do well, etc. And not having them in my Final Four just doesn't feel right. But even realistically, if you look at it on paper, I think any side that can have four of its top five batsmen guaranteed to be Indian players, you are always going to play Dhawan, you're going to play Iyer, you're going to play Pant, and you're going to play Shaw. You can flex where exactly they play and where you bring in that overseas batsman, but four Indian batsmen at the top is a huge asset. I think you have both the Collins, you have Colin Munro and Colin Ingram. You'll probably play one of them. Then from an all-rounder standpoint, you have three quality overseas options. You have Chris Morris, Sherfin Rutherford, and you have Kemo Paul. Again, maybe one of them will play. But you have Akshar Patel, who was brought in new this year to play that Indian all-rounder role. Not the best bowler, not the best batsman, but helps with balance often, right? He can play at seven, give you two overs, give you 15, 20 quick runs if you need him to. Then from a bowler standpoint, again, overseas heavy, but you have Rabada Bolt from a pace standpoint. Ishant Sharma is riding high from his test form. I don't know if I'll necessarily play him early on in the season, but if he can channel some of that test form to just deliver three or four good overs, I think he could be an asset just from the experience he had. The data and the statistics don't say that, but I have to believe that. He's coming home and he's, coming off good momentum. And then finally, from a spinner standpoint, I mean, a year ago, people were saying, who is Sandeep Lamichhane? He didn't get most of the first few games. Then he came on in the back end of the season, did an incredible job. And now he's just gone league to league, racking up better and better and better performances. So I think, interestingly, I think Lamichhane is the guaranteed overseas slot for Delhi. And the rest will flow based on balance. So I think the side looks pretty good. I've said that before. I know I've said that before. But that wraps up that my final four, I think, are going to be Chennai, Hyderabad, Bangalore, and Delhi.
And I'm glad we've actually learned, at least I've actually learned how to pronounce Lammy Chane's surname, because I think...
Yeah, you had to, if he, since he got better, you had to.
Yeah, I mean, he's made a name for himself, right? So the big calls from you then are, MI isn't going to make the playoffs. That's a pretty big call. I'm sure Gorby isn't going to be pleased with that.
Yeah, I mean, not just have I called that they're not going to make the playoffs, but we sat and watched the Cricket Fever together when Delhi knocked out Mumbai from the playoffs last year. So that was obviously a fun moment in my household.
And then Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude.
Exactly. And then I was saying separately, Mumbai plays Delhi for their opening match. So my brother, Gorvi, and I will all be watching the game together. And there's going to be two Delhi fans in the house and one Mumbai one. So I'm quite looking forward to that.
Interesting. And no Rajasthan Royals for you either.
I don't think so, unfortunately. They're a good side. Honestly, like you said at the beginning, there's a world where you could see KKR, Mumbai, Rajasthan.
Maybe not Punjab. I don't know.
And Punjab, honestly, all making the play. You could see that, right? So that's a sign that it's pretty balanced. I think Rajasthan is missing out a little bit, A, in terms of leadership. I'm not sure Rahan is that leader that can bring the whole side together. And B, I think their Indian all-round contingent is a little bit weak. I mean, if you look at Stuart Binney, I think is way past his prime. Shreyas Gopal, Krishnappa Gautam both did well last year, but on and off. So I think they could come good on their day. I'm just not sure they'll do it consistently enough to make the Final Four.
So when was Binney in his prime?
I'm not 100% sure. Let's just maybe it is due. Maybe he's due finally.
He's due. Binney's never been in his prime. Although I think he does have the best figures for a bowler in one-day internationals.
Wait, has he played one-day? Did he play for India?
Yeah, he bowled Bangladesh out, I think, for like less than 104. It was some crazy match. I remember that he took like six wickets or seven wickets.
Six wickets for four runs, you're right, in an ODI.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. He's played 14.
Those were the heydays of Binney.
The heydays of Binney. 34-year-old Binney, of course.
Correct. So that's an interesting discussion, actually. I think it's a pretty open IPL. I'm just looking forward to it now. I can't wait. It's, what is it, 72 hours, 48 hours away. And yeah, we've already planned where we're going to watch it. We're going to going over to a friend's house who is also part of our fantasy league. And we're going to get Hotstar UK, because obviously Sky isn't broadcasting it this time for some odd reason after announcing it's going to do it for the next 3 years. I mean, there's been a lot of weird stuff going on, right? Like Sky saying, okay, we can't broadcast this. What's happening to the official fantasy league side? Ashwin, I know you've been following this with great interest.
I wake up every morning, I check the site, it's not loaded. I check Twitter, people are complaining and there's no response. So I think, yeah, some people who are more patient than I am are saying this has happened many years that they don't launch the site till 2 days ago, 2 days before the first ball. Once it happened that they actually didn't launch the site till after the first match. And somehow we still keep coming back. We still keep playing. We'll do it again this year. So let's hope by the time shortly after this releases, the official IPL fantasy is out. They've announced that they're partnering with Dream 11 to run the back end of the league. Unfortunately, Dream 11 for all three of us that run this show doesn't work outside India. And so that's going to be a challenge. So we are under the assumption right now that Dream 11 is going to create a platform that will be hosted on the official site. Like we've said before, for anybody listening, we will put out an Edges and Sledges listener league. Honestly, at this point, it may be 15 minutes before the first ball is bowled that it actually goes online, but we'll be checking every few hours.
Yeah, and I'm getting really stressed about this, man, because Dream 11 apparently doesn't cater to people outside India, and I can't understand why. I mean, this is just fantasy cricket. I guess they want to get paid customers or whatever involved and all.
I think it's a little bit to do with the betting laws as well, because they do, although this might be one section of the site, they do have a large section where you can actually bet on the games and win money, and the laws for those are different in every country.
Well, I guess there's an element of skill involved in picking the right players and all that. That's the argument with fantasy sports in India, right? Anyway, so we'll have to wait and see how that unfolds, but I hope it really settles itself quickly, because I think it's stressing quite a lot of people out. Just moving on to the next topic of discussion, predictions for orange and purple caps. Just to remind our listeners, the orange cap is the one with
for runs, for most runs.
Number of runs. And the purple cap is, I don't know why I kept thinking of the Hyderabad Sunrisers orange cap, and I kept thinking of Bhuvi. And I was like, why is Bhuvi wearing an orange cap?
Well, it's funny because when Warner had the orange cap for most of the season 2 years ago, it just looked like the normal Sunrisers cap, right? It was strange. And when anybody from KKR, back when they had the purple uniforms, when they had the purple cap, it looked like Narayan had it pretty often one season, and it just looked like the normal cap. So it's a bit strange, but there aren't that many colors left to choose from.
So I think that was pretty well done with by me, confusing myself while trying to remind our listeners what cap stood for. Just moving smoothly along after that. Orange cap and purple cap. Ashwin, your predictions for this season?
So, it's again, big question. I think the challenge is some of the contenders for the orange cap, say with the batting, are going to leave the IPL before the season ends. And so they won't be playing every single game. I'm thinking of Joss Butler as an example, who's likely to get called back for England duties before the actual end of the season. So given that, I think the Indian players have a little bit of an advantage. I think any list of likely contenders for the orange cap is going to be incomplete without starting with Virat Kohli. I think just the sheer incredible form he's been in, I think he's likely to step up and do it once again. So that's my number one pick for the orange cap. It's going to be Virat Kohli. My second is probably a little bit of an interesting one, and I think it's going to be KL Rahul. I think he has this tendency to step up his game when he's under the most pressure. He's obviously, you know, we've talked about him as a test batsman and failing, etc., but he's a phenomenal T20 player, and nobody can doubt that, both in the IPL and internationally for India. So I think he's really going to step up, and he'll put out some big scores this year. Again, I may be wrong, but that's what my thinking is at the moment. So that's my second one. And my third one is the old player who may be playing his last IPL, and I think Chris Gayle is going to come to the party as well. So that's two Punjab players in my list of likely contenders, but those are the three that I'm backing for the orange cap this year.
Wow, and you're not sending Punjab into the playoffs.
Because of their bowling.
So I think I'd agree with you on Rahul, because I see him wanting to really prove a point here. But my second pick would probably be Suresh Raina, because he's someone who's actually going to go after it, because he isn't in contention for the World Cup at the moment, and he's going to put his body on the line. I think he's a lot fitter. He's an IPL legend almost, I would say. So Suresh Raina is one of them. And the third one, I think, is going to be Rishabh Pant. So two left-handers and one right-hander are my picks for the orange cap. Ashwin, purple cap?
So another big question, I think similarly to what I said before, there's a risk of some players going away before the end of the season. I think any list of likely wicket takers would be remiss without looking at the top class leggies. So I'm going to put Rashid Khan and Sandeep Lamichane both in there, just because of the incredible league seasons, the league year they've had, going from CPL to PSL to Big Bash to Bangladesh Premier League to all of them, and just performing match after match. So I think the leggies, Lamichane and Rashid Khan, are the top two on that list for me. From a pace standpoint, you can't leave out Jasprit Bumrah. I think he's obviously a critical wicket taker. I think the reason what might work a little bit against him this year around is that teams have started to decide, hey, we're going to just play out his overs and try to hit the rest of the batsmen. So that's good. It's a good contribution to the team. It'll be good from a economy rate standpoint. And, you know, but it'll probably mean he'll be a little bit short on the wicket. So that's, I still think he's always a force to be reckoned with, but he might fall a little bit short there. And then my final pick, sorry, I'm going one extra. My final pick is the off spinner, also from Afghanistan, who I think we always goes under the radar, but it's Mujibur Rahman. I think he's done a great job picking up wickets for Punjab. I'm realizing now that I think a lot of...
You stole my player, man.
I'm realizing now that I've been backing a lot of
player.
Punjab individuals, but didn't have them in my top four. So I clearly haven't got
this. Yeah, and you're like, bowling. Bowling is rubbish.
Well, if you look at the rest of their bowling, I think Ankit Rajput, Shami's joined them. He's not a T20 bowler. They have the two Ashwins, neither of who's done a great job in the IPL recently. So that's where I think they'll fall short. But I think Mujib will be strong.
Interesting. So I was going to go with Mujib, which is why I told you that you stole my player. My second pick is going to be another leggy, and it's going to be one of your favorite players, Piyush Chawla. Because I don't know, he just picks up tons of wickets.
What?
He picks up tons of wickets for Kolkata, man.
Piyush Chawla?
Yeah, I'm telling you. He's going to pick up tons of wickets. They're light on their bowling this year. They've had three pacers injured, right? Andre Russell's always injured or not.
Kuldeep Yadav ahead of him for sure. You have Sunil Narayan.
I don't know if Kuldeep will play as much.
In my head, you're going to play Kuldeep ahead of him and you have Narayan as a spinning option. I don't know.
I want Kuldeep to play, obviously, but I don't see... See, Narayan, he's got that suspect action, so he may not bowl that much. Kuldeep Yadav is going to save himself for the World Cup. They've got three bowlers who've injured themselves and the others are all youngsters. Piyush is going to lead the attack.
Piyush was the third highest wicket taker for KKR last year, behind Narayan and Kuldeep. Mm. He took 14 wickets in 15 games.
Piyush is a cockroach and he's going
to
survive.
Can I just finish this? He went at 8.4 runs and over. An economy rate compared to Narayan, who went at 7.6, Kuldeep, who went at 8.1. I mean, there's no stats that back you up. So let's hope you're right.
So if he's in the 11, I would put him in my team. Okay. In my fantasy team is what I would say.
Wow.
And my last player is for the purple cap is going to be Dwayne Bravo. And I'll tell you why. Because he's not really going to play the World Cup, right? So he's going to play the whole thing. Chennai is going to go all the way. And he picks up all those junk wickets at the end. He picks up tons of junk wickets because he's just a hero at the end.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I can't argue with Dwayne Bravo. I think that's fair. I think it's interesting. Neither of us said Jofra Archer, who had a really breakthrough season last year. So I don't know whether it's just because Rajasthan somehow is not as top of mind or...
But he's in contention for England selection as well, right? So he's going to leave on the 1st of May probably.
Yeah, you're right.
If he gets into the squad, so... It's quite difficult. I mean, it's going to be quite tricky when all these foreign players go off for their World Cup training squads because if someone like Delhi, I mean, Bolt is going to be gone, Rabada is going to be gone. That's taken out your two best bowlers, presumably. So
Ishant will slot in. I have faith in Ishant Sharma.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we live in hope, right? Ishant has always been the big hope. Speaking of Delhi, what did you think of the news that Ganguly has become is he the mentor?
He's some sort of an advisor. I don't know if he's an official mentor, but he's joined the Delhi Capitals in an advisory capacity, quote unquote. And so I'm not sure what that means. I think good for branding, and they've been doing a great job posting pictures of him, and it's good for overall team morale as well. Look, I think the reality with Delhi is you also have to account for the fact that they've retained Iyer as the captain. And Iyer is a great player, has been a good leader, but it's not quite at the stature. I mean, the other captains are Kohli and Williamson and Rohit Sharma, right? Iyer's not at that stature. So they probably needed a big presence. They already had Ponting, but they decided to bring Ganguly in as well. Because even Dhawan coming in brings maturity and experience, but Dhawan's really not a leader. He's, you know, lighthearted. He's going to have fun with the team. So I think that's what Ganguly will bring, is a little bit of coaching for Iyer as a skipper.
And also, yeah, exactly. And Ponting was never known to be the greatest tactician, right? So
exactly.
Ganguly's really well ahead on the tactics front in a lot of ways, I would imagine. And it was quite interesting watching them both sit on stage and talk about Rishabh Pant being number four for India at the World Cup. I think it was days after Ganguly said that Cheteshwar Pujara should bat for India at number four. So
there have been a lot of strange comments made by a lot of former players, from Gambhir to Ganguly to, yeah, lots of strange comments. Let's hope our players do well in the IPL, and then there's a good fight for number four in the World Cup.
Absolutely. And as we said on our last pod, I think the number four slot will be decided by the IPL form and fitness in the IPL. So we'll just have to wait and watch how all of that goes. So guys, that's all the discussion that Ashwin and I had for you this week. And we put out a couple of tweets earlier today asking for funny IPL stories. Where's the weirdest place you've watched an IPL match? What's your favorite IPL memory? Have you ever met an IPL player? Funny stadium stories. And we got quite a lot of nice responses. So we're going to read out some of those. And just keep writing in with stuff like this. We absolutely love it. It makes the show so much more fun for us. So the first response we have is from Chokidar Abhinav Sharma, who said that the weirdest place he's watched an IPL game, is when he was traveling from Kodaikanal to Bangalore. He just took a halt somewhere in Tamil Nadu to watch the final over of an IPL in front of somebody's house. So that was well done to him. Nikhil R. Day, and Ashwin, this goes to what you were talking about earlier, right? Where you got the got your dorm room open to watch the match. Nikhil says that the weirdest place has to be his college TV room. Imagine more than 100 guys sweating and sitting in a small confined room, glued for 5 to 6 hours straight. It was the passion that kept us going, else people would have suffocated inside. I think they may have been quite sticky in that room, but having studied in a law school in India myself and having watched television in a common room, I totally get what he means. Eamon Lahiri wrote into us saying his favorite IPL memory is when Ganguly got kicked out of KKR captaincy and then out of the team in general. And a funny stadium story is when a loony at Eden Gardens kept yelling at Ashwin throughout a game with a packed crowd from the top tier. I can just actually just imagine that happening somehow, weirdly enough. So that's a good story. Abhinav writes in saying he went for a DD-RCB game and the whole of Kotla was screaming for Paul Collingwood, who's then a Delhi Daredevil.
Basically, every player ever has played for Delhi Daredevils or Delhi Capitals, right? That's the conclusion from that story.
That is absolutely insane. I mean, Paul Collingwood was getting, everyone was like cheering for him. Anyway, so he also goes on to say, he's an MI fan, and nothing beats the MIRR humdinger of 2014 at Wankhede. No IPL game has made him nervous like this. Now, this is obviously when Aditya Tare hit that six off, was it Faulkner? Of the last ball when Mumbai had to chase a massive score. I think Corianderson got, I shouldn't say it like that. Corey Anderson, Dhania-san, got, did he get 100 in that game?
Man, I have a terrible memory compared to you. I would have to look this up. I do remember the Tare last ball six,
I remember Tare hitting that, I think Faulkner, hitting it for six after thinking that they'd been knocked out and stuff. So that was an insane game. So that's a great memory, Abhinav. Thanks for that. Tanmay Joshi, this is one of my favorite tweets, actually. Tanmay Joshi writes in saying his favorite memory is Mitchell Starc versus Kieran Pollard. Throw of bat and ball. Do you remember this, Ashwin?
This one I remember well. I think we talked about it on the show when we were talking about our favorite sledges and things, but it's just outstanding. Just an amazing moment.
So good. I mean, apparently Mitch Starc got completely booed off the ground because this happened, I think, at the Wankhede. And I asked, so what was the reaction of the crowd? Whose side were they on? He said they didn't actually realize what had happened until they saw the replay on the big screen. Because I'm guessing in the craziness of the IPL and the wall of noise you're in, you don't actually concentrate that much on the cricket, but that's just an insane story. Sari Gal writes in saying that her interesting stadium story is she went to the Wankhede to buy a Mumbai Indians t-shirt. There was no club shop at the Wankhede, so she ended up on Fashion Street. Now, Fashion Street, for those of you who are not familiar with Mumbai, is where you get all the fake stuff. So I'm sure she got a pretty good deal on a Mumbai Indians t-shirt. And finally, Peter Gate writes in saying he will never forget the first ever season. One group of friends in Birmingham had each picked a team for £1 and the winner got to keep the pool. I got Delhi and I'm from Delhi, so we'll always support them anyway. Delhi did so well through the group stages and then get thrashed by the Rajasthan Royals. Peter Gate, visit Piyush, we feel you, man. We remember that game as well, and pretty upsetting, but we're still with Delhi. You should stay with the Delhi Capitals. The Delhi Daredevils are history, so we've got a new name and maybe it brings new luck.
That was some great stories, DJ. Thanks for reading all those out. Can I share one more? It's not actually an IPL memory, but it's a current IPL story that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, go for it.
So as I mentioned on the show before, I live and work in the US, and the unfortunate part of this is obviously that there aren't too many people around me who know and watch cricket, right? There's a lot of talk about football, American football, basketball, hockey, baseball, etc. So the other day, a friend of mine at work, Scott, sends me a text message late at night saying, hey, have you seen this series on Netflix? It's something called Cricket Fever. It's really fascinating. So I started texting him back. Then I spoke to him the next day in the office. And this guy, who's never seen or played or had any understanding of the rules of cricket before, watched all 8 episodes of Cricket Fever, got super excited about it, got really into it, and is now, you know, talking to me about it, excited for the first game. He still doesn't really understand how it works. Just earlier today, he was telling me, hey, when they run back and forth, is that one run or is that two? But it's unbelievable that on Netflix, because it's a global platform, this guy watched all 8 episodes, thought this seems really, really cool. And he's planning to watch some of the games with me. So I was thinking, and we were joking, maybe in the next few weeks or after the IPL, we'll have him come on the show as the American fan who doesn't know anything about the game, and we'll explain a little bit about the game to him.
That would be awesome. And I think Netflix should actually take a lesson from that and bid for the rights to Indian cricket next time around. Then we won't have this Sky Hotstar mess up and like 17 channels sharing the rights. So fans of cricket have to watch and buy every single package of entertainment available under the sun.
That would be incredible.
It really would, man. I mean, YouTube, I think, broadcast the IPL in 2010. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do. I remember. That was incredible. That was the first year I remember getting an HD stream.
It was amazing.
Yeah, of course.
It was amazing because I was in Bangkok then for work. And it was like, I remember watching the IPL final on, it was Chennai versus Mumbai. I still remember. And everyone was like, why hasn't Pollard come in as yet and stuff. And Chennai won that final. And I mean, I remember watching it on YouTube and it was absolutely amazing. And it just shows you how far the IPL has come since 2000, the early 2000s. Oh, well, the late 2000s. I think the rights are now worth $2.1 billion or something absolutely crazy like that. And Star has basically said, we're not giving Sky the rights, and Hotstar is going to do it in the UK. So, I mean, amazing. Big money, big cricket. Fans suffer, but here we are. We're still talking about the IPL and we're still going to watch it. So, hey ho. Anyway, guys, that's all we had on the discussion bit this week. And thank you guys all for writing in with all your tweets. We've really enjoyed this. We're really looking forward to the IPL. We're super excited about it. For the rest of the show, if you haven't yet heard the chat I had with the Cricket Badger radio show podcast, we're going to put that on now after this break. Please do listen to it. We do an in-depth dive into each of the 8 IPL teams. James is a great guy. He knows a lot about cricket. It's really interesting. And it's also very interesting for us to get a perspective from a non-Indian fan, because we're all Indian fans and we've kind of grown up with the IPL, watched every game of it. But for someone who isn't Indian and doesn't really associate with the local players, it's a really good insight into what people outside India think about the IPL. So do have a listen to it. And thank you very much for joining us. We're going to be back every week putting out an episode. We're going to have fans of the various teams on. We're going to discuss everything about the latest results, about the latest innings, the highlight, the team jerseys, the sledging incidents, everything that goes on around the IPL for the next 8 weeks until the 19th of May. And then we've got the World Cup 10 days after that. So non-stop cricket, guys. We're here. We're going to enjoy bringing it to you. So keep writing in. Keep telling us what you'd like to hear about. And please keep sending us your feedback. Leave us a review on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And now, over to the interview that I did with James. Thanks. This week, we've got James with us of the Cricket Badger radio show podcast. James, if you guys remember, joined us on a joint podcast that we did just after the India versus England series last summer. We're delighted to have James back on our podcast. And James, thank you so much for joining us this week.
It's a pleasure, DJ. Good to be with you.
So we just thought we'd get together this week to chat about the IPL. The IPL is coming up in a week's time. Everyone's getting pumped about it on social media. James, do you watch the IPL?
I do. I'm very much into the IPL. I've watched it all the way through. It's coming into its 12th year now, isn't it? So it's been over 10 years now watching the cricket from India. We've seen quite a few of the faces change, but big names playing in the IPL year on year. And I think it's just a fascinating competition. I really do.
Yeah, and that's a lot of cricket games to watch. So why do you watch it? Do you actually really enjoy?
Well, I'll be honest with you, DJ. I get paid to watch some of it. So that's a motivation, because I write some previews and need to kind of see what's going on. But I just enjoy it. I'm a cricket traditionalist. I love Test match cricket. I love the county championship over here in England. But I do really like T20 cricket as well. I like the Big Bash League too. And I watch as much of it as I can. And I think the way the IPL has gone over the years, it burst onto the scene 12 years ago. It was fantastic then. I do think it dipped a little bit. And I think Big Bash caught up with it to a degree. But I think the Big Bash has had a bit of a ropey winter. And I think the IPL is certainly the foremost T20 competition in the world at the moment.
And would that be a fair assessment from English fans who are not paid to watch cricket? Because what I think we're quite keen to understand is what the attitude of non-Indian fans is to the IPL, because we're massive fans of it and we follow it and we're all pumped for it. But what do people outside India really think of it, particularly the English fans?
Yeah, I think if you analyse it, obviously from an Indian perspective, you've got the young Indians playing, which a lot of people in this country won't relate to. But then again, you've got the big stars. You know, we've seen increasingly over the last few years as well, English players going across to the IPL. Josh Butler did fantastically well and forced himself back into England test selection because of his form. We've got a few English players playing again in it this time, because there was a period where the ECB didn't let English players play in the IPL, but now they are doing. And it's a chance for them, obviously, to go over there and earn some money. But importantly, probably even more importantly this time, as we talked about on last week's Cricket Badger Radio Show podcast, the IPL is going to be a bit of a litmus test and a chance for some people to put their hands up for selection for the World Cup, although I think England's World Cup team is pretty much nailed down, and the Ashes that follow, because England have shown over the last 12 months that they're more than happy to pick players for England's test team off the back of T20 or one day form. So for a few of the players going out there, it's a chance to really say, you know, I'm here, select me.
And it's interesting, James, that you mentioned that, because we spoke last week on our podcast as well about how the number four slot, which is up for grabs in the Indian team, for better or for worse, is actually going to be decided by form and fitness through the IPL. So we've got about five people vying for that one slot. With India's problems, particularly chasing massive totals, I think actually the IPL is coming at the right time for us. So can we just move on to the IPL teams that we have? We've got eight teams. Is there a particular team you support in the IPL? And if so, why do you support that team?
I wouldn't say I support them. I just got a bit of a soft spot for the Mumbai Indians. I know they're one of the big franchises over there, well followed, probably second behind Chennai Super Kings. Would that be a fair assessment?
I'd say so. I mean, the Mumbai Indians have just had a Netflix documentary released about them. So
yeah,
have you watched that yet?
I have watched that. Yeah, and I found it fascinating. It got me
fantastic.
It got me back in the mood for this season's IPL, and I thought it was good, because you look at the way the Mumbai Indians have played over the last 6 years or so. They've won an IPL. They've then disappointed. They've won, and they're alternating. They didn't do so well last year, so I think I actually fancy them to bounce back this year. I'm a big fan of Mahela Jayawardena, and he's their head coach, and I think he's got a very level head on him. And I think there's some very, very good young players in that Mumbai Indians side too, I think can really do a job this time. If you look down their lineup, you've got Rohit Sharma, their captain. I think he's a terrific player. Didn't have the best of IPLs last time, but I think if he plays anything like, he's one of the best limited over batsmen in the world. I love the tree trunk, Kieran Pollard, the West Indian. He's built like a, and I can't really say the words on a family podcast, but he is huge. And when he gets going, he can really blast the ball all over the place. And I like watching him bat. He can win a match, you know, chase down anything over the last two or three overs of an innings. And on that Netflix documentary you mentioned, I thought it was very interesting to see him behind the scenes, because he's quite a level-headed fella, and he was not afraid to speak up in a dressing room and tell people what he thought of them. And I think as a team man, he came across very well in that. Youngsters, you got the Pandyas. I think they're terrific. Markand, the leg spinner, he's a real big prospect. And one of my favourite players, Ishan Kishan's another one, but Yadav, the opener, I really like him. He scored over 500 runs in the IPL last year, and I just like the way he goes about it. In that Netflix documentary, you saw him going off and getting his bat sorted out by one of the local shops where he lived, and he seemed to be a nice fella. And he knows how to score runs in T20 cricket. I think Yadav has every chance of winning the cap for scoring the most runs in this one.
Yeah, and he's a beautiful batsman to watch as well. I mean, while I was watching the documentary, I was like, why are we pitching this guy for the Indian team? We've had all these other people try. We should have given him a shot. And I think what went against him is he plays for a franchise like the Mumbai Indians, and that's just the fact of it. If you play for them and you open the batting, you're expected to score runs. And I mean, I think if he done the job for another franchise like, I don't know, Sunrisers or Punjab, he may have been the reckoning for an Indian call-up after last year's IPL.
Yeah, well, if he has another good one this time, it's, you know, maybe not too late for him to force his way in, is it? So there's a few in the Mumbai Indian side who I really do rate, and I like watching them play.
What I actually wanted to get your thoughts on is the relationship between, obviously, Mahela Jayawardhana being the coach and Robin Singh and those guys, and they were obviously excellent, having been ex-players. What did you think of the relationship between the Ambanis, who are the team owners, and the players? Because is it quite a lot like Premier League owners, where they're massively invested in the teams and follow their progress and stuff like that? Because that is one element we don't actually think about very often. But is there a parallel between the Premier League there with, I don't know, a Roman Abramovich with Chelsea or something like that, or the Manchester City owners? But do you see the parallels between the EPL and the IPL there?
I certainly do, and I think Ambani Senior, and he's one of the richest men in the world, isn't he? That house that he's got is just incredible. Even to have one room in that house would be fantastic, but to have that whole block is just immense. And his son's almost, it's a little bit strange, isn't it? You know, his son's been almost gifted the franchise to run. And he's passionate, isn't he? He came across as really passionate. He's a fan. We've seen him as a kid on the sidelines watching the Mumbai Indians play, and he's grown up now to become a man and to actually run that franchise. He certainly comes across very much as a fan, doesn't he? He's a fan with a shed load of money behind him, but he's very much a fan. That's not a bad thing. I think enthusiasm in sport can get you an awful long way. But there were times, I thought, where you watched him and he was stood there as a fan rather than as the owner or as the manager. And there is maybe just a slight conflict there. Because, you know, as a fan, you can get attached to players. You know, you heard Mahela Jayawardena on the documentary talking about Kieran Pollard and saying that, you know, over the last few years, his form has gone down. But if you saw at the auction when Ambani Jr., they'd bought Polly for another stretch, he was so excited to have him. And it's almost like, you know, he's my favourite player. We're going to buy him. And then Mahela Jayawardena was kind of saying, on the other hand, well, his form's going down and his returns aren't quite as big. He's a fantastic player, Kieran Pollard, and I would imagine most franchises would snap your hands off for him. But there can be a conflict, can't there, between being a fan, having loads of money, and being the boss. It kind of sometimes maybe crosses over a little bit too much. And I did think as well at times, DJ, that when you saw the post-match meetings and Mahela Jayawardena was trying to get his message across and Kieran Pollard was chirping up and Rohit Sharma was saying his bit, and then one of the Ambanis came in and started saying their bit, it was almost like, if I was Mahela Jayawardena, I'd be kind of saying, can you just get out and leave us alone? We're talking about cricket here for now. We're not talking about you. Yeah, there is potential conflict there, but you can't get a family that's more passionate about the Mumbai Indians than the Ambanis, and they've got plenty of money to throw behind it.
Yeah, and it was also great with the personal touch where we saw Sachin Tendulkar almost exclusively at the buffet, which was quite
yeah.
But anyway, he seemed to be eating a lot.
He's got a bit bigger, hasn't he, since he finished. The other player that interested me in that documentary was Ishan Kishan. You know, it was quite touching to see his mum and to see where he came from and how excited he was to be going to join the Mumbai Indians at the start of last year. No doubt that he's a fantastic young player and everything. But I don't know about you, DJ, but when you saw him actually training and you saw a bit of immaturity coming out, didn't you? Because he was messing around and he was not necessarily taking everything quite as seriously as he should do. And I was sat watching the documentary thinking, come on, Ishan, get yourself sorted out here. You're a cracking player. This is a massive opportunity for you. Concentrate, train, do what you can. But then on the other side, you could see Mahela Jayawardena. Every time you saw Mahela Jayawardena and Ishan Kishan together, Mahela Jayawardena loves him. There's something in that player that Mahela Jayawardena just thinks is just special. And it'd be really, I think it's going to be interesting to see how Ishan Kishan gets on this season, because if he kicks on, he could be a real force.
Absolutely. And he's only 19, 20. I mean, he's got years of cricket ahead of him. So it's the maturity that comes with experience. And I think that's when Kohli speaks of players like Prithvi Shaw and Shubman Gill being beyond their years and not being 10% of the player that they are at their age. I think that's what Kohli's identified in those two players. But yes, Kishan is a terrific player. I don't know whether you picked that up. Maybe it was in Hindi, but he actually said that his mum pointed out that he's going to meet Sachin. And yeah. Ishan actually said that he used to have a picture of him and he would pray to that before he went out to bat. So, I mean, these guys are meeting their idols. Kishan's known him his entire life.
That's basically one of the things that those documentaries do so well, isn't it? Because they remind you that these people that you see under a helmet, wearing the kind of the outfit of their franchise, who from a distance look exactly the same, don't they? It reminds you that they are actually just human beings, and they're just like us. You know, they love cricket and they're fans. And going on to see Sachin Tendulkar, he was sat on the sidelines, wasn't he, with his pads on, saying, "I want to bat now. I want to bat now. I want to go out and show Sachin what I can do." And it's quite refreshing, I think, just to get reminded that these guys actually really care about it.
Absolutely, and the season as it goes on, you can see the drain how it drains the players, and I thought that was particularly interesting as well. More IPL teams. So should we talk about those?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to start with Chennai?
Absolutely.
They're a big side, aren't they? Defending champions, Chennai. MS Dhoni, one of the greats of the game, isn't he? Just before I start, MS Dhoni, legend, followed Tendulkar, didn't he, as the poster boy. Virat Kohli, has he totally replaced Dhoni now as the main focus in India?
I would think so, but I suppose they perform different functions. Dhoni's kind of on his way out, the legend that won everything there is to win. And Kohli's hungry and he's looking for stuff to win. So I think they perform different functions for the Indian psyche. So I think they're quite comfortable with those roles at the moment.
Well, he's huge, isn't he, for CSK? The only worry for CSK, I think, is that they are starting to get a little bit older, aren't they? You know, the likes of Dhoni, the likes of Suresh Raina, Imran Tahir even, who's in their side or potentially in their side this time around, and Ravindra Jadeja. None of them are getting any younger. Shane Watson. There's a few kind of old stages there. And you can say, well, that's great for experience, which it is. And it's great to have those names in there because they're all talented players. But, you know, they're starting to get a bit long in the tooth. So at some stage, CSK is going to have to shake it up a little bit. And going back to the Mumbai thing that we spoke about, you know, the one focus that they had was to bring in youngsters, wasn't it? And to kind of create a culture, bring the youngsters through. Potentially CSK are going to have to do that at some stage. Dwayne Bravo, even as their all-rounder, is not getting any younger. So that would be the worry with CSK. But, you know, the names that we've mentioned are all match winners. So they do have every single chance, I think. Every single time they've played in the IPL, they did miss a couple of years. They've made the last four, the playoffs. And yeah, you'd have to say, on the names that we've said, they've got every chance of getting to at least the playoffs again this time. I think they're a very good franchise. Would you agree they're maybe looking a little bit old?
I think you'd find it difficult to bet against them for a top four finish. They've done it every year. They've played 7 finals, 3 wins. They've got players who know how to play the IPL, right? And
yeah.
So one of the things with the IPL, and one of the things that's frustrated me for a long time, is the auction and switching up the team every 3 years. So when Chennai made its re-entry into the IPL, they very much went with a team that was only for the next 3 years. So I'm not sure there's a lot of benefit in actually grooming youngsters, because what happens is 3 years down the line, you shuffle everyone around. Chennai has gone with consistency. They've gone with experience. And we saw it last year. They won the whole show.
So it's a good point, that, DJ, Mumbai kind of retained quite a few of their youngsters for the second time. The Pandya brothers are still there. And I do quite like the idea of having some fresh faces, a combination of some old stages and some young talent as well. I also think the auction is one of the best things about the IPL. Obviously, it's not cricket, but I think the kind of 2 days of working out who's going to go for what money and who's going to get taken, who's going to not get taken, who's going to be surplus to requirements. I think it's quite exciting. I think that's, you know, possibly one of the best advertising campaigns you could have for a competition. It comes in advance of it, obviously, and you get excited about the IPL, you know, long before it starts.
And that's absolutely right. I mean, we start looking at the IPL in January, and by the time it's April, it's an absolute crescendo. So
yeah, exactly.
That is right.
Let's have a look at Delhi Capitals. This is bizarre for me. Why are they not the Daredevils anymore? Because it almost seems like the owner of Delhi Daredevils sat down and thought, right, we're rubbish. We're doing absolutely nothing here. Let's change our names. Let's have a rebrand. Let's get a new logo. And then we can go into a tournament. We can have a fresh approach. And we can absolutely be fantastic. Doesn't get around the fact that you're not winning matches, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I will admit that I am a Delhi Daredevils or Delhi Capitals fan. Being from Delhi originally, I did watch them in their first few years where they had literally everyone. And they were smashing it. You had AB de Villiers, Shikhar Dhawan.
Shikhar's back, isn't he?
He is back. And when we're waiting for him to bring us the trophy, because he's the man. So just coming to the name change. Actually, I think it's a superstition thing, A. And B, you had a team called the Rising Super Giant
Yep.
Singular that changed its names from the plural version and then went to the finals. So maybe there is something to the name change, and all the Delhi Capitals fans will be raring to hear that.
I mean, Shikhar's a huge signing, isn't he? He is potentially capable of winning a T20 on his own. And you get these batsmen, you look through the various squads, and you've got the likes of De Villiers, you've got the likes of Kohli for Bangalore, who we'll get to in a sec. You've got Shikhar, Rohit Sharma, who you know that if it's their day and they bat at the top of the order, if they bat through the majority of the 20 overs, they will win the match on their own. And Shikhar's one of those. So if he has a stellar 2019 IPL campaign for Delhi, he's going to make a huge amount of difference to them.
That's absolutely right. And what Delhi have lacked is consistency in the last few years. They did pretty well until Veeru was up at the top of the order, and then we lost him to Punjab. And Shikhar, along with Prithvi Shaw, Rishabh Pant, Shreyas Iyer, Hanuma Vihari, I mean, that's a great core batting lineup, and it's all Indian, so you don't need to drop people to fit in foreign players and all of that stuff. So, and it's the formula that CSK have followed successfully as well, having a strong core of Indian players, because we've seen that teams that have very strong overseas players may not always end up doing too well.
Quite a nice balance, isn't it, that Delhi have got? I mean, Rishabh Pant, I think he's a superb player. Mm-hmm. I really like him. He had a great IPL last year, didn't he? And you look down, yeah, as you say, the top order is fairly settled there with local players. And then you've got the likes of maybe Chris Morris and Kahisa Rabada, who can just fit in, and you don't have to worry about the quantities of overseas players now, because you're pretty much fielding overseas bowlers, aren't you?
That's right. And we've got Colin Ingram and Colin Munro as well. So two Colins that can really go pretty hard.
Yeah, Colin Ingram's a great T20 player.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful for Delhi. I'm not going to say any more because I don't want to jinx it, but I'm hoping that we're not going to come last like we did last year.
I can't see them making the playoffs, DJ.
Oh, we will see. We'll see. 6 weeks.
It will rely heavily on two or three of their players, won't it? Which I guess you could say for quite a lot of them, but you need Shikhar to perform at the top of the order. I mean, Shreyas Iyer is a good player, isn't he? Rishabh Pant is superb. So, if they do fire, realistically, any of the eight teams could win it, because you look down their various squads, they all have match winners. It's just which franchise gets the momentum and gets going in the right direction, isn't it? And if Delhi get that, then the rebranding may have worked.
And that's it. I mean, it's getting on a roll at the right time in the tournament. And Mumbai are masters of it. Chennai are pretty good at it. Bangalore had 1 year where they won 4 or 5 games in a row. And Kohli scored, I think, 400s in 5 games or something crazy like that. So it's getting on a roll at the right time, timing your charge effectively and making sure you make the playoffs, saving yourself to the end.
I don't have much faith in the Kings 11 team, it has to be said. Yeah, they've got a few players in there. I mean, David Miller, he's a very dangerous T20 player. But you look down their list, and I'm struggling to work out where they're going to get too many wins from myself. I think their bowling's a little bit light. I just wouldn't really back them.
So they've still got Gale, haven't they? And they've got Rahul at the top. So I think a lot of their wins came from that last year. They were doing pretty well in the first half of the IPL until their form kind of just fell away weirdly towards the end. Ashwin was skipper. That brought about some interesting moves, some of which worked, some of them didn't actually work too well. Ashwin's got a point to prove before the World Cup. He's just come out and said that his record in one-day cricket is actually quite good, and white ball cricket is quite good. And he's suffering from the perception that you need wrist spinners to win limited overs games. Yeah. He'll have a point to prove, and what better time to prove it just before the World Cup?
You got a few in there. I mean, Chris Gayle's interesting, isn't he? Because he is probably more capable than anybody of winning a game on his own. But he may be these days, is it one in every 8 or 9, 10 games? Yeah, Chris Gayle of old would do it maybe one in every 3. One of the players that will be interesting from an English perspective is Sam Curran, who is obviously had a stellar 12 months for England. Doesn't necessarily play the one-day stuff for England as much as the Test matches, but he's a fine talent. How he'll do in Indian conditions will be interesting to see. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting with the Kings 11, but I think there's a lot of question marks around their side. Andrew Tai is the other guy who, in the Big Bash, he's superb. For Perth Scorchers, he just runs in and takes wickets. But the conditions in India are totally different. And whether he can do the same for the Kings 11 remains to be seen, I think.
That is right. And I mean, he was one of the big wicket takers last year. So they'll be hoping for him to go well again.
Kolkata Knight Riders. I'm doing this in alphabetical order. You look at them, and I just love the Sunil Narine pinch hitting role that he has. He comes in at the right at the top of the order, probably going to open with Chris Lynn this time around. And at the start of it, when I first saw them do it, I just thought, what on earth are you playing at here? Sunil Narine, but opening the innings, it's just ridiculous. But every now and again, he comes off, doesn't he? And he had a couple of really good innings last year, which when he does come off, he scores at such a rate because he just swings the bat at everything with his eyes shut. It sets KKR on such a roll that they can get a huge, huge score. And with Chris Lynn at the other end, he is one of the real explosive talents at the top of the order in any team. He can win matches. He's one of those that falls in that bracket of winning matches on his own. Andre Russell back for them as well, who is one of my favourite T20 players, the all-rounder. So they're looking okay, I think, KKR. Carlos Brathwaite comes in.
Yeah, KKR are always a threat, especially in their own conditions. It's interesting you spoke about Narine and Lynn. Narine's actually been the revelation with the bat, as you said. And I think it's been brought about by his bowling action being questioned. So he's added another string to his bow as he goes around playing T20 cricket around the world. But Lynn actually hasn't set the IPL on fire. I know he's a massive name in the Big Bash, but I can't actually remember him just teeing off and scoring massive runs. I do remember a few scratchy innings against spin, and maybe it's that the pitches take more spin than they would in Australia, but he's a beast in the Big Bash, but he hasn't replicated that kind of form in IPL games, and he's had shoulder injuries and things, but maybe that's the reason.
I mean, he's been absolutely dogged, doesn't he, by shoulder injuries. Every time he's got any momentum in his career, he's kind of fallen on his shoulder and been out for a few months. But I just like the look of KKR this time. They'd be my dark horses for it, for winning the IPL. I think Robin Atapa is a very good T20 player. Andre Russell, Carlos Brathwaite in that lower middle order. If they get into a situation where they need sort of 40 or 20 balls and those two are in the crease, they've got every single chance in the world, haven't they?
Don't forget their skipper, DK. He's one of the best finishers in the world. I think we mentioned it earlier. DK is just amazing at the end of the innings.
They definitely have their merits, don't they? I think KKR. They'd be one to watch for sure. Get on to the Rajasthan Royals now, but Josh Butler, who had that superb run for Mumbai Indians, he's 750s on the bounce or something, wasn't it, that forced his way into the England reckoning?
Yeah, he destroyed my IPL team and my IPL fantasy cricket season. Just kept losing points. The other guy who had him in the team is captain. Anyway, sidebar.
He is, I would suggest, probably the best T20 player around at the moment. The innings he scored this winter for England, 150 off something like 78 balls or something like that.
Incredible. You
know, when he gets going, there is nobody better to watch than Josh Butler. And I think, with him in the team, Sanju Sampson's a terrific player. Ben Stokes is in there for them this time. Jofra Archer, who's probably on the verge of, making his debut for England in one-day cricket. They've got some real players in there who can win matches for them. Stephen Smith looks like he's going to be playing because there were some injury concerns about him that he might miss the start of it. And obviously not picked by Australia means that he can land early and get himself ready. So, he's always obviously going to be a threat as well. Be interesting to see how he gets on for his ban. But there's some real players in there. It's just potentially bowling that might let them down, I would suggest. But there's some firepower in their batting. Make no mistake.
Yeah, and we've got players like Rahane as well who are looking to make a mark before the World Cup. Jofra Archer, I think, has just become eligible today for England for the World Cup. Steve Smith will be out to prove a point. And Rajasthan historically have punched above their weight in the IPL. I mean, they did win the first edition of the whole show under Shane Warne, and he's going to be around as mentor. So I wouldn't take them lightly, but I'm not tipping them for a playoff spot.
Now, RCB, DJ, are the strangest team in the IPL. You look down over their history, you look at some of the players that have played for the Royal Challengers down the years, and they've had some of the biggest names in cricket. And they've still got two of them in Virat Kohli and AB de Villiers. But I do think that potentially maybe not having quite so many massive stars might be to their benefit this time around. Because I think they've always played a little bit like a team of individuals rather than as a team. And a team of individuals, like you said, can go on a little bit of a run of winning three or four on the bounce, but they can also lose. When RCB lose, they can lose quite badly. If AB de Villiers is fit, if Virat Kohli scores the weighted runs that you'd expect Virat Kohli to score, and then some of the others contribute as well, maybe RCB can get a little bit closer to lifting the IPL than I would give them credit for. They're always quite short in the bookies markets because of the names that they have in there on their roster. But it's asking an awful lot for Virat to do what he does game in, game out. AB de Villiers the same, and therefore you're looking further down the list at some of the others, and you wonder quite how RCB are going to win a few games.
I would suggest that they start with preparing the pitch that the Bangalore curator prepared for the test match against Australia. I think the issue's always been that they've scored a lot of runs and then their bowling has just let them down.
Yeah.
They've got a good spinner in Chahal. They had Umesh Yadav as well, who's quick. So they need, they went for a lot of bowlers the year after they were told that their bowling wasn't good enough, and then they didn't do very well with that either. So I think their best shot is how KKR actually had their revival, which is by preparing spinning wickets and spinning the opposition out and just trusting their batsmen of the class of Kohli and AB de Villiers to take them across the line.
Yeah.
I think that's actually got to be their strategy, but I don't know whether it will be at the Chinnaswamy Stadium because maybe the crowds just want to see sixes.
If I asked you, DJ, if you could spend 24 hours in the body of a current cricketer and live their life for a day, I'll give you my answer before you give you time to think about yours, but my answer would be AB de Villiers. I think AB de Villiers is just incredible. If he's on form, he can play every single shot and he invents more. He can hit. He's a complete 360 player. He is just astonishing. When he's in form, there is nobody better to watch than AB de Villiers. And if I could be him for a day, I would just stand in front of the mirror and just admire myself, I think, for 24 hours. He's just an incredible player.
I think that's what Virat Kohli does anyway. So I think that is right. I mean, you wouldn't probably need to be de Villiers for more than a few hours to score a ton of runs either. So
36 balls is all you need, isn't it?
Yeah. So I would probably go with Kohli, but I mean, his work ethic is what I would what I'd try to work out. I mean, what he's done to himself, his transformation from a very good player to potentially one of the greatest players to have played the game. I mean, I think it's been remarkable and it's happened in front of eyes. So
yeah, I think if he retired today, he would go down as one of the best Indians of all time, and he's still got a few years left. He's terrific. I mean, one of the things I think as well that people don't necessarily totally comprehend is that if you are an A-lister in Indian cricket, you are just so under the microscope. It's unbelievable. I can remember going to Lords to watch Shyam Tendulkar. Do you remember the tsunami game they played at Rest of the World played at Lords to try and raise money for Sri Lanka? And Sachin played in that. And I remember I was kind of waiting around afterwards to try and get his autograph. And there was about 1,000 Indian fans just waiting outside the pavilion. As it happened, they took Sachin across over the, there's like a bit of a flyover over an archway, and he kind of almost went out the back door and escaped. So none of the guys, because he knew that if he'd walked out into that lot, he'd have taken about 3 hours to get through it. The intense kind of scrutiny that Virat's under every single day of his life, and he comes through it. He comes through it classy. He's just churns out runs. I just think he's an exceptional, role model for anybody that wants to pick up a bat in India or anywhere. He's a massive role model.
Absolutely. And I'd recommend an article on by an ESPN non-cricket writer who followed Virat Kohli for a day. He doesn't see any of the cricketing bit. He just follows Kohli around for a day during his commercial engagements. And he writes about that. I'll give you the name of the article in a second. But it's quite amazing what he goes through. So it's called The Strange Life of India's Cricket God, Virat Kohli, Keeping Up with the Kohli.
Yeah.
It's by Wright Thompson. It's just absolutely amazing what he deals with on a daily basis. We can't even imagine it.
I know. I was going to say, you can't comprehend it, can you? You can imagine. You could try and imagine, but then you'd probably have to multiply it by about 10 to actually get the reality, because it's just incredible what what he's up against. And he just comes through so serenely at times. I mean, he wears his heart on his sleeve and he has those moments, but he's tremendous. But when you've got your pick's Kohli, my pick's de Villiers. And that's why I asked the question about the 24-hour thing is, both those guys are playing for the same franchise. That is why so much emphasis is, the bookies are so short and a lot of money goes on on the Challengers Bangalore, because those two play for them. Those two can't win an IPL on their own. They need the rest of that squad to contribute. And that's where I think the RCB might fall down.
Yeah, they tried a couple of years ago, just scoring tons of runs, and they failed at in the final. But it was the Kohli and de Villiers show, and you had people flying from all over the world to watch IPL games, which was frankly remarkable as well.
We have one franchise left to talk about, and they are my second pick for the title, Sunrisers Hyderabad. They are, I think if Mumbai don't win it, Sunrisers will. And I think, they're going to miss Shikhar, who's obviously gone to your capitals, as they're called these days. But the interesting thing for me with the Sunrisers, DJ, is the captaincy. You've got the David Warner show rolling back into town. He obviously missed last year's IPL because of his sandpaper gate suspension. And Kane Williamson took over last year for Sunrisers, captained them through, and I thought he was superb. Not only was he, I think, the leading scorer in the competition last year, but he also, he's got a very calm, placid nature, Kane Williamson. And in those heated moments in T20 cricket, in IPL, where you need to make the right decision, you need to stay calm. And Kane Williamson's superb at that. And I think he led them brilliantly. Now, I don't know if they've made a decision yet, you can tell me, but it's between Warner, because he was the captain. Williamson took over last year. Have they made a decision? And if not, which one would you go with?
I don't think they've made a decision yet while we're recording this. But if it was me, I would go with Kane Williamson. I mean, we've seen the issues that Warner has had with leadership already. The trouble, naturally, is can you play both in the same team, given the limit on overseas this is players?
Because the year before last, when both of them were in the squad, David Warner played as captain, and Williamson missed a lot of games, didn't he? Because they couldn't fit him in. And Williamson showed last year just how good he is.
And that is going to be the issue. I mean, Williamson was remarkable as a player last year. He was absolutely fantastic. He was great in the field. He was a great ambassador for the game. He's always been. He's led New Zealand with distinction as well. And he's done really well in the IPL last year. It's going to be a tough choice. Warner is the more explosive left-handed option. I'm almost going to say that Williamson will take the captaincy, and it may mean that Warner doesn't actually play every game, which frankly, until last year, was absolutely unthinkable. David Warner defined the run that Sunrisers Hyderabad's been on for a long time. They were the erstwhile Deccan Chargers, which went bust, and Hyderabad got itself another franchise called the Sunrisers Hyderabad. That's actually done really well, franchise.
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you, that you would try and play both, because both of them are going to bring so much to that side. But if you play both as overseas players, you're going to have to make sacrifices further down the list.
And that's right. And you've got those fantastic spinners and stuff, which you're going to end up losing out on. You've got all-rounders like Shakib Al Hassan as well. Yeah. Are you going to sacrifice those five overs and that batting capability?
Rashid Khan.
Yeah, I mean, Rashid will walk into that team. So that those are your four players. And if you want to make any more changes, you're going to have to drop one of them. It's going to be tough.
I mean, you look at that squad, though, and, you know, with Kumar in there with the ball as well. I mean, Billy Stanlake, the Australian, from what we've just said, it's going to be unlikely he plays that many matches, because how are you going to fit him in? But Billy Stanlake, with his, you know, tall fella, bowls Yorkers at the death, he's a terrific T20 player. So they have got an embarrassment of riches, the Sunrisers.
Yeah. And, I mean, they've got Siddharth Kaul as well, who did really well last year and would complement Bhuvi pretty well with the ball. So yeah. Maybe Billy Stanlake doesn't make it in the 11 on that count.
Let's round this up then, DJ. I think I've already said mine. I'm going to go with Mumbai as my first choice to win the trophy. Sunrisers would be my second team. And I think Rajasthan Royals would be my and KKR would be my third and fourth choices. Would you be along the same lines?
So I'll go with three teams. I think CSK, my mind tells me that CSK is going to win it again, just because they're so good at doing whatever they do and pulling it through. So my heart tells me that Delhi is going to win it finally for us. So I'm going to go with that.
Don't listen to your heart, TJ. Don't listen to it.
Well, it hasn't worked for the last 11 years. So hopefully the name change brings more luck to us. And my third team is going to be an unfancied Rajasthan Royals team, because I think they've got a point to prove. They haven't done that well since the first edition of the IPL. So everyone wants them to succeed. They're the nice guys of the IPL.
One thing's for sure, it's going to be fantastic. It starts very soon, and I can't wait, personally. It's the only going back to your first question, it does take a long time to get from start to finish, isn't it, the IPL? You've got to love your cricket to stay with it, but it's worth it.
It was 56 games last year. It's ending, I think, 10 days before the World Cup starts, or but 19th of May is when it ends. I think the English and Australian players are leaving around the 1st of May, so it'll be more Indian players involved after that. So,
do you think there's going to be a situation where some of the Indian World Cup winners are arrested towards the end as well?
Have you declared us World Cup winners already?
Sorry, no, that was a Freudian slip. Some of the Indian World Cup squad, is there going to be scope for them to maybe miss the end of the tournament too?
I think if they're injured, they won't play. But unless they're injured, they will play. The slightest injury, at the slightest hint of an injury, they'll be pulled out.
Yeah, make no mistake, Indian listeners, I meant England World Cup winners.
Very good. Very good.
Pleasure to talk to you again, DJ. Great stuff.
Great to join you again, James. Thank you for your time. Pleasure as always.
I'll talk to you soon, mate. Thank you.